All right. We are just about to get started with our second speaker. Virgil Davila is going to present La Suite Docs open source collaborative documentation platform. So if you all give it a hand.
But I still worked a lot on the kind of like the thing that I'm launching that is supporting the presentation. So introduction to what is this? This is La Suite Docs. It's a note-taking app that is being made by the French government, the German government, and the Dutch government. It's a MIT license. It works like this, you know, you create a document. You have a nice looking editor, which will probably remind you Notion, where you can type Markdown and do slash commands and add different types of blocks. It's quite useful to take notes together in real time. So if I put a QR code in here, you would be able to get in here and we would see your cursor. It's on the shoulders of two great libraries, actually three, YJS for CRDTs, BlockNode.js for the nice looking editor, and ProseMirror for the low level editor. It's a need that we have in the state to have a note taking app real time that you don't have to do formatting. You can just type away, use shortcuts, and not worry about how it's going to look. So here, the only formatting options are the ones that you see here. So bold, italic, a bunch of colors for text and background, and that's it. You don't choose the size of the font, the font type, and stuff like that. So I'm the product manager of this. It had a lot of success on the in the open source community. Someone posted it on Hacker News. And it got a lot of success, like it was on the front page for 2 days, and it attracted a lot of stars. I'm not sure why, because we are not doing something very complicated. It's just it's a Django application with some permissions, and we are wrapping the two libraries I talked about before. but it became quite popular because we made it easy to install, so a lot of people are installing it on their server. You can it's packaged for Nix, it's packaged for YUnoHost, and we are not doing that, it's the community, so thanks to them. And in the French states, it has become a big part of how we do internal documentation and external documentation. So for example, for this tool, we do a user FAQ for the public agents who use this tool, and you know, you'll find this. You can navigate inside the different pages. You can add medias, so it's practical to do end user documentation. And you have a little search engine for all the sub pages that are inside. And it's not, oh yeah, sous. I'm in French. So for example, if I go here, I can look at how to handle subdocuments and stuff like that. And it's very easy to use. You don't need any technical requirement to do that. And it's kind of the subject of the talk. So I'm a product manager. A developer I used to work with told me, like, you're a minimal stack developer. I don't know how to do anything apart HTML and CSS, and I understand a bit of Git. But for me, like, I would contribute to open source by doing documentation, stuff like that. But it was always horrible because every time I would contribute, I would have to remember how to handle a Git workflow. And this was terrible, especially for this project that I'm showing you now, because the team uses the contribution requirements got me really confused. Like, they use Gitmoji, you have to put an emoji, the size of the commit message has to be 80 characters long. If you don't have a, if you put a space, if you don't put a space between here and here, the CI breaks. So for me, it was terrible. I had to learn to rebase stuff I never done before. And for a long, yeah, it was fun to learn to rebase. but you know, like I'm still not going to become a developer that does this for a living. And I starting to do all my documentation on Lastweek Docs. And the purpose of the talk, if I find it again here. Yes, is to say that maybe this is a good tool for documentation, maybe not all documentation. I mean, like technical documentation, we do it inside the GitHub repo, you use mkdocs, whatever. But you don't do technical documentation every day. Like you, and it makes sense that it's stable and doesn't evolve too much. But for end user documentation or documentation that needs to evolve a lot, it's nice to have flexible tools that you can give to mortals, where you invite with an email address, they arrive on an editor, they have permission access, they can read, write, they can create their own subdocuments. And this is basically, I think, what is docs. So I classified kind of the documentation in two columns, the technical ones, and the one that's not really technical, where you might have a video, you might have even embedded PDFs and stuff like that. And especially, you might want to localize it in different languages. And this is what I wanted, I actually worked on before my talk, and I thought I would have time to prepare a better presentation. But the I put my energy in the last week in launching this thing, which is just a docs application that is focused on translating the end user documentation. What you've seen before, the FAQ, I do it in my everyday job, specialized for the French government instance. But I noticed that a lot of people are installing and there is no end user documentation, and I will not do end user documentation in GitHub because I do it every day and I need to do it fast. So I launched this instance and I thought, okay, maybe we can do this collaborative documentation. How much time do I have left?
You have at least 10 minutes.
Okay, good. And I tried to come up with a process. And I started to get a few contributions. So basically, it's a docs instance. I documented the process in here. I brought the documentation in French, withdrew everything that was French specialized instance. And I want to try this process with a few members of the community who asked to have a place to translate the documentation. So this is what the process describes. And basically, how I'm hoping it will work is that each language will have its own page. On each page, I'm going to be able to invite an editor. I will be the administrator of each pages because I'm doing the main documentation. And the story of this guy is quite interesting. This is Alexei. So he has all the I have a little change log. So on the first page, you see the last update of the documentation. You have the core section of the documentation. And then if you go inside each thing, you will see the content that you need to translate. So if I go here, now, for now, it's a lot of it is still in English, is still in French, but this one is actually translated. And I gave this to Alexei. And what Alexei is doing, he is a guy from Ukraine. He's actually our most active translator in the docs community. If we go on we use Crodin for translations. If we go on the Crodin page, you will see. So this guy is doing a translation to speak better French, basically. And you can't get a hold of him on a video conference because he's in Ukraine and internet connection is very bad. So we only chat. And if you look at the two most translated languages on Crodin, you have Ukrainian, full green, and you have Russian, full green. So big applause to this Alexei guy. And I say, okay, do you wanna help with the Ukrainian translation? So here we have him started translating what seems to be docs in Ukrainian. I added all the languages that we have in Crodin, and the plan is to invite progressively the contributors inside the community who want to help translate this documentation based on the main version, which is English, and then look for updates and translate the rest. So I've started with my friend Alexei. I have Stefan, who might be somewhere here, not here, but from Netherlands, who will be doing the Netherlands. And of course, I think people will use AI for this. So in Docs, we have our own LLM gateway to do this. So for example, if I go to English, and we go to a page that is not translated, so for example, format a document, and we take this text, it's actually sending a request for translation here to our own LLM gateway in the state, and it should come back with the translation in English. So now translation, you know, of text is fairly easy and it's quite well done, so you just need to review. And I'm hoping that providing a tool where you can natively do the translation with the AI, people will actually help me with the difficult part, which is this. You know, like doing the screenshot in each languages is a huge hassle when you're doing user documentation. So I'm hoping by providing a flexible tool where people don't have to have the hassle of a Git workflow, actually care about interfaces because they are end users and don't spend too much time manually translating because they have AI. I'm hoping that they will help me redo all the screenshots, redo all the screencasts, and this way we can all have a shared document portal that we can put inside of our product. And so I'm recruiting, of course. if you happen to be someone that wants to translate, please go to check out docs.la-suite.eu, and we have a dedicated Matrix channel inside. So we use Matrix for community communications. There is a general channel. I just created kind of like a sub channel for translation, and I'm hoping to coordinate over there. So as you see, I have someone for Ukrainian. but all the languages, I think it's 15 languages, still need some people to fill the job. So we will have administrator of languages and then editors. And I guess the last thing, yes, I want to say is that we've been seeing a lot of people using Docs as a headless CMS. So writing the content collaboratively, reviewing everything, it's nice to have real time. So I don't know if Arnaud, you can go on this document so you can show that it works real time. I'm going to send you the document. Yeah. Here, and I'm coming back here, and oh shit, I lost it. But these guys, they are using Docs as a headless CMS. We have an API that is exposing the documents, the public documents, and the public sub-documents, and you can just scrap the markdown and recreate your own documentation website, pulling contents that's lively edited in real time by people on Docs, because this is what it's made for. If you don't want to use Docs as the end user website of your documentation, and maybe we can see Arnaud. Is it you, Arnaud? Yes, okay. So this is what's nice with WebJS, BlockNotes, WebSocket, and everything, is that conflict resolution in real time, we can work together on this, and this is pretty cool. and I guess I'm done. Maybe you have some questions, but thank you for listening. Yes. So the question was, how do we have users handle conflicts and handle GitHub? The idea is that you use docs, so you don't have GitHub in the mix. It's because we have CRDTs and we have YJS, we have people writing on the same document at the same time, and the conflict resolution is done for them.
So they never see Git as an underlying?
Never. And you can use this as content for another website. Yes?
My question is about exporting the documentation if it's supposed to. I mean, if for some reason, for any reason, someone has to convert the documentation to PDF, for instance. The problem is that, for instance, with a Markdown editor, you can do a lot of things, but when you come to transforming and formatting PDF, you may have, for instance, pictures which are split between two pages and so on. So the question is it supposed to have an export feature or not? And if yes, how is it handled with such a bit of trouble?
Yes. So this is the nice thing about, so Blocknote is not Markdown per se. You can convert Blocknote content to Markdown, but they are content that is more complicated than Markdown inside. But we as it is a need for public agents to export their document in ODT, in DocX, in PDF. So we have a client-side exporter, and you can choose your format. And it's not perfect yet. For example, tables. I think images, we are starting to do okay. We've done a bunch of fixes. Tables is tough. We do imports. We are doing export as well. Import is done back-end side, but we want to do a good job at document portability because it's very important to our users to be able to navigate around. Not everyone wants to use docs.
Okay. So it's work in progress.
Yes. But, you know, if we... This document is not too hard. If we export this, it should be okay.
There's a white page.
Yeah, because I think there are a bunch of blocks below. Yeah, the void blocks.
I would put the docx format as the last one.
Yeah. But they use a lot Microsoft in the state. Yes. Yes?
Is there an API to automate import and export of information?
I don't think so yet. No, I don't think so. What? Oh, yeah. Is there an API for import and export? I don't think so, but there could be. And one question here and here. Yeah, go ahead. How does it handle users? Yes. 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 So it uses OIDC. The user base is external. Here it's KeyCloak. So I invite all the users, you come register. And if your instance is open, if you invite someone that's not already there, you will receive an invitation email. Here it's closed, so it won't work like this. And you can put anything. Like you could put Sentinel or whatever, or OpenBow. And here, yes. So here, what I mentioned is that in the French state, there is a team that does an API for LLMs that we use. The model behind this is Mistral Large, if I'm not mistaken. We have many models installed. The formatting structure below is JSON, so it's a bit complex. We've noticed that small models don't work really well. If you do an AI ask in there, so for example, if I say, what is a recipe for Belgian waffle. It should come back with some formatting. Here, 5 minutes left. Yes. So we've seen that you need a bigger model. Small models don't work really well to provide an answer with good formatting. Yes.
Do you have any options to disable that or not?
Yes. Yeah, it's environment variable. If you don't put an API key, you won't see it in the front end. So the question was, can you disable the feature? Yes? I mean, we in the fan state, we don't have a forge for all public agents yet. And in our department, the one that everyone uses is GitHub. I'm hoping we can have something like the Germans have. They have a forge that is called opencode.de, where it's a federal forge. Every public agent can push their code there. I think it even has everything, the CI and stuff. And now they even added an extension so you can build your images securely there. I would love to have something like that, but for now we use GitHub. And one last question, maybe.
Do you have like history to show the changes?
Yes. So how we do this is a bit dumb. So we snapshot every minute the document when they are. So you write. If you are inactive for 1 minute, we snapshot. And this is S3. We store the document in an object storage, and it's using the versioning of the object storage. So you can restore it with a click. It would be better if we do something more intelligent, but we are in the process of it.
So it's you back up the JSON, the entire JSON?
Yes. The document is called the YDoc, if you are familiar with YGS. That's what we store. And we store the media as anchors inside the documents. And I think we are done. Thank you.